You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Sean Severson on the line. He is co-founder and president over at Water Tower Research, and he's also someone that I'll be meeting very shortly at the MicroCap Conference in Atlantic City over at Caesars. Really pumped about that. Hey, Sean, just first off, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right, Sean, so a bunch to talk about here today. Of course, we want to talk about Water Tower Research and really stock research for small cap companies in general. We have a lot of investors, a lot of entrepreneurs out there that listen to this show. And, you know, small cap, that's always on our radar. So excited to get into this. But we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with what we like to call our Mission Matters Minute. So, Sean, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Sean, what mission matters to you?
Well, thanks, Adam. I, from our perspective and what we do at Water Tower, our mission is to help create a dialogue and communication between investors of all categories, ranging from institutional investors through to the individual investor and everything in between. And the companies and trying to tell their stories and communicate with that investor base. We use a sell-side research toolbox to do that, along with some very differentiated ways we approach it. But if you look at the core mission, it's really to help engage investors, help the average investor understand what's going on at companies, and give them access quite frequently to things that they don't always have unless they're privileged enough to be at a large, you know, bulge bracket investment bank conference, which is very specific to only a few institutional investors that get invited to those things. So we are an open communication platform that's driven by expert research content between companies and investors.
Mm. What drew you to the small cap conference? Like, I'm curious, this would be my first time going and heading out there. I mean, I knew about the deal flow guys for a while, but what drew you to this?
Well, so much of the work we do is in microcap, small cap, and, you know, ranging up in several billions of dollars, but also very small companies as well, and really platforms and outlets for those small companies to reach investors is pretty tough, and the information flow is very asymmetrical, inefficient in the small cap world, which creates great opportunities for investors, quite frankly, because information flow isn't so good. And people aren't getting access to many of these small companies. So for us, it's a great venue, a great opportunity to meet with several new companies. We have, I believe, 10 or 11 clients coming to as well that work with us, companies we cover. So for us, this is a great venue. And again, I think critically important for small cap investors to access these things in person, virtually, with webinars, all things they can do to get to the real story and engage with companies.
Yeah, when I think about like the number of small cap outlets out there versus the amount of individuals covering small cap, or I should say organizations, and individuals writing on things and attending conferences, other things like that, like there's only, you know, so many niche areas you can be, right? I kind of think of it many times almost like the media business. Like when you think about your local news or something else like that, like those, there's less and less resources to cover smaller, I won't say companies, but just stories. Like you can't, like, there's just so much information flow. I'm curious, how does a lot of CEOs that listen to this, like, how do people get on your, on what either Water Tower Research's radar as a small cap company, or just in general, anybody, how do they get their story out?
Well, let me go back to something you said about the dissemination of information and access. And one of the things that's really lacking in small and micro cap world is quality of information as well. Our firm
but
is
not
based
just
on
quantity, but quality as well.
You gotta have quality. There's a lot of stuff out there that'll get you into more trouble than help you if you're listening to those. So the idea is to create a credible group. We're all ex-sell side analysts, Wall Street backgrounds, worked decades in the industry. So I think it's very important where you get your information, not falling subject to, you know, to promotional of content and research, and that you're really looking to try to create a fundamental investment thesis. So when investors look at this, they should be looking for what's creating a real due diligence package for them to understand the business, right? To understand the company, the drivers, the risks, all of those. And so that's what we do. We work with companies to create that. Our website is also an open access investor portal at www.watertowerresearch.com. So they can access everything we produce there, from research by our senior analysts to webinars. We also distribute through Bloomberg, FactSet, Refinitiv, CapIQ. For any of your listeners that have an investor terminal with one of those services, they can use those as well and sign up for our direct distribution as well on our website. But the idea is to get as much exposure for the companies to make investors aware, and then importantly, keep the information flow going. So we don't just stop there, and it's important investors get updates and understand what's going on and get perspective around news events that come from the company. And that's part of what we do, is to provide this context and framework and access to, to our senior analysts and to the company themselves.
Hmm. Talk to me about like the platform itself. So mm-hmm. when you talk about being able to go to the website, being able to, and this is obviously more for the investor side of things, mm-hmm. Because a lot of investors are looking for trusted platforms where they can actually, look further, whether it's in a small cap or otherwise. So talk to me about the platform.
So the platform, we're about 33 employees, like I said, 16 analysts across 9 sectors. The platform itself is designed to use a sell-side toolbox, which are the things many investors are familiar with, mm-hmm. quarterly update notes, initiations of coverage, things like that. But what we do is intra-quarter and to provide proactive content to help continually educate the investors. So that's what the platform itself does. We don't give it investment opinions because we want to avoid that part of it, and rather educate the investor on everything that they need to know so that they can make smart decisions. And if you really boil it down to what we do, it's helping investors make smart decisions through having good information flow. And the whole platform is designed around that, from our investor engagement team to our research. Like I said, our publication, you'll see if you look on the website, very similar, in fact, exactly the same in many cases to what you get on a research report from a typical broker. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of other things that create different ways to digest information. We do podcasts. We do, webinar fireside chats, again, all open access, X spaces. We tap all of those as well to provide the investor different ways to access information in addition to traditional written content, which some people rather listen to a fireside chat than read one of our management series, which is a transcript of it.
Yeah. What would name of the podcast? I love to plug other podcasters. I want my people to go in and check you out for sure. name of the podcast, drop it.
Yeah.
No shame.
We have Water Tower Hour, which is our firm-wide one, and we've actually
Water Tower Hour. What a great name. Come on, you hear that once and you can't miss it.
And then we actually started, we just started one, love to have you check it out here too, on the Sustainability Surveyor. So we'll be doing a podcast just on sustainability, the sustainability industry and energy, sustainable investing, I should say, and energy transition. So that's going to be a sector specific, but you can go back and check out several dozens of podcasts and companies highlighted in our Water Tower Hour.
What kind of content, like give us a feel for the flow and format and like maybe even an example of an episode that you just liked, like just to give our audience a little bit of a flavor for what to expect when they go check it out.
Well, if they're checking out the podcast, our podcasts are led, we have a team that does the podcast itself, but on every one, we usually have a company and then the analyst who works with that company or in that sector.
Wow.
So we have an expert analyst talking with the company and, creating that kind of the exchange that usually goes on behind the scenes when an analyst is meeting with a company and trying to understand the drivers, the risks, the markets, the technology, whatever it might be. So we
do they go pretty deep? Do you find do they go pretty deep into it?
So sometimes, I mean, these formats, as you know, are you know more for the 50,000 foot view here, kind of flyovers on stuff. But we also like to do them on very specific topics. To your point, like our fireside chats, for example, we like to keep those sometimes to a single topic, you know, something short and specific, so that investors can focus on one aspect of the business and learn it well. And the podcasts are a little broader in nature, but all these combined, when you look at it, should, you know, get an investor 80-90% of where they need to be.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like even for those that haven't necessarily, that almost like case studies, like even just by hearing the logic and the reasoning behind what the analysts and the dialogue, you're kind of being trained in how to think when you're evaluating companies. Am I off on this? That's what it sounds to me like. It could be a really useful tool.
Absolutely. You're seeing the work in action, so to speak. And, you know, and this creates an opportunity for all investors to participate in that. And that's part of going back to our mission, is to open this up for everyone to be able to see these things. You know, I was a sell side analyst for 20 years, spent my career in research. And, you know, I was privileged to have great access to companies and management and get responses and being able to engage with them. But, you know, quite frankly, that just doesn't happen for most investors. And I'll tell you, from the company perspective and the investor perspective, let's just take the Russell 3000.
Yeah.
You know, that's 3,000 boxes of cereal on that aisle, right?
That's a whole lot of cereal, man.
It's a lot of cereal. So which one do you pick? How do you know about it? How do you hear about it? So part of what we want to do is create the exposure, create the idea, hey, there's this company, and then help people learn about it. But it's a challenge when you get in the small cap, micro cap world. You have so many choices and a lot with that good information flow, you know, and so it can be tough. Great opportunities, but tough to invest in if you're not digging.
Yeah. So like you said, you know, over 20 years in that space. So you've seen the past, you know where we're at now. What does the future look like of small cap research and really just communications, in your opinion?
I think that's a great question, because it's changed dramatically. You know, when I was an analyst, I would work with, you know, you could work with small cap companies. There was an identified set of investors out there. You knew who they were. They're much more conventional funds. But in today's world, if you look at a typical investment bank, the only place that a cash register sits is in investment banking these days. It's not so much in research and trading, because small cap companies, micro cap companies just don't pay. When I say pay, I mean in terms of trading volumes and money to be made, right? So that leaves
let's peel that back for a second, because I don't want to assume the audience understands what you just said. So what you're saying is, if there's not a lot of volume, then maybe the broker, or just a bunch of different, like, let's just say things in the supply chain or the food chain, to where the more volume, you know, the more that the people that, you know, make money off of volume, would, you know, they benefit from. So if there's not a lot of volume, then there's also not, maybe potentially, depending on the business model, a lot of incentive for others to cover that and to deploy resources for that, which is why I don't want to go too far in my example. I'll stop. But first, am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely right. And you look at what happens trading margins, if we want to dig in another layer of the trade, you know, nobody makes any money off of trading anymore. And certainly not in a company that trades $500,000 worth a day, or even $1 million worth a day. It doesn't pay anybody's bills. So it's just the nature of the business, which means if you look at the model of, there's banking, there's research, and then there's sales and trading, right, inside a brokerage business. Mm-hmm. The idea that you could get paid for research by your sales and trading team could go out and get paid for your insights on research used to be a way to make money, but that's pretty much gone. And it's certainly gone in small cap, micro cap, which leaves banking. So going back to how the model changes.
Man, that's interesting. That's interesting to me, Sean, like the evolution. Go ahead, continue. That's just super interesting.
Oh, no, yeah. But that's the point, is that there's no way to make money off of those other parts. Now, you know, a banking transaction can make $1 million, $2 million for a bank in a couple of days, right? So everything's oriented around that. But what it does to companies and what it does to investors is it is the information flow dries up because there's just not a lot of incentives around, promoting, good information flow from the bank's perspective or communication. Plus, it's important for investors to remember that when companies, most investment banks write on a company and they write research, they are writing it for the audience that pays them. So if we go back to that idea of trading and sales, they want to get paid and provide that research for their investor clients that pay them. So it is not their job to get it to the average investor or to the family office that doesn't pay anybody or the hedge fund. Mm-hmm. It's to get it to their 100, 150 investors' accounts that pay them, on the institutional side. So that the whole thing is designed, and, it used to be to constrict the information flow because you wanted to get paid for your research, right?
Yeah,
and you didn't want to give it away, right?
For sure, So things like either newsletters or paid subscriptions or even if we go further back, like physical mail, right? Like reports being, if we go way back,
reports, right? Yeah, physical reporting. And people used to, the investment.
And those were a big buck. You'd be paying every quarter for that. Yeah. And then how many companies and this and that. And then we go way back. Lot of trees. Go ahead.
It's a lot of trees. And I can tell you, in this day and age, because I was an analyst, if I talked to an investor when I was an analyst at an investment bank, when I talked to an investor, somebody eventually would call up from my firm and call that investor, be it a, big, mutual fund that we all know about and, an investor, and say, you talked to Sean for 42 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pay us for that. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough way to do things these days. And as a result, the information is narrow and focused on those that pay. Whereas our model and what we wanted to do was, open that up because, we'll take the company and get them as much exposure as possible. We eliminate those paywalls. Ours is open access for everybody so that the average investor can get some information. The company gets a way to communicate to these investors and, everybody. It's turning the model on its head because we don't do banking or trading. So, we're not worried about getting paid from those aspects.
Yeah, that's Matt, I love it. I love it when somebody's turning models on the head and really disrupting and figuring out like other ways. And there's just, and ultimately, I mean, both sides of the coin in this scenario, or many sides, I should say, benefit. So the EOs and the companies that are out there, doing the work day in and day out, they get some coverage and they get a qualified individual to actually do a real evaluation that maybe they couldn't necessarily, or they didn't qualify, or for whatever reason they're not getting otherwise. And then the investor on the other side gets a source where they can also, get that information, and they're not paying on the front end. I believe you said they weren't, that it was given away. Even on that side, you even made it easier. So it seems to me like it's a good deal on both ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I think today with the rise of the retail investor, cheap, online brokerage accounts, the ability for the average investor, and quite frankly, I don't care whether you're a senior portfolio manager at Wellington or, you're day trading at home, most of your research probably starts with a Google search, right? You're like seeing what you can find on the web. So part of what we do is to create a body of work that sits out there, a digital footprint for all investors to access. But that gives everybody from that PM all the way through to the individual investor an opportunity to at least get some knowledge on these companies. Again, don't provide opinions on them, but to get your knowledge to make your decisions.
Yeah, it's in many ways from that aspect, it's very similar to what we're doing at Mission Matters. So we're not necessarily focusing on the underlying metrics of the company or the health of the business. Typically, what we're focusing on is much like our conversation today. It's the story, behind the company, the investor, the founder, the market they're covering, why they're doing what they're doing, like what's their mission. Like that's ours. So, and we want that digital footprint to be out there so that when somebody does Google, in this case, Water Tower Research, you know, there's a third party media outlet that had you on, Sean, mm-hmm. and that talked about the company, and that you had another host pick it apart. And I'm not against a company, by the way, creating their own content. I think what you're doing with two podcasts, absolutely wonderful. But the point being is that you have now a third party that's having the conversation too and asking questions that maybe you wouldn't have thought to ask internally. So it gives a different footprint out there as well. So really, I'm a big fan of that. That being said, Sean, first off, great having you on the show. Looking forward to seeing you at MicroCap Conference. If somebody's listening to this and they want to learn more about Water Tower Research, how do they do that?
The easiest way is to hop to our website. That's where you as an investor are going to find access to all of our stuff. So you'll be able to see it. And that's www.watertowerresearch.com. And you can also access it there. If you're going to be at the MicroCap Conference, I'm going to be on a panel there and around. So please feel free to stop me in the hallways and say hello. But we'd love to talk to investors. So, you know, please reach out, and hopefully we can be helpful and you can find some information, some new ideas through our website and what we do.
Wonderful. So thank you again for coming on. And to the audience, thank you for tuning in. If you haven't hit that subscribe button, I don't know what you're waiting for. Hit that subscribe button already. Come on. It's not going to bite. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line. We don't want you to miss a thing. Sean, again, thanks so much for coming on.
Great. Thanks, Adam.